We come this evening then to Catechism 52. What are the reasons annexed to the second commandment? The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, his propriety in us, and the zeal he hath to his own worship. We need, of course, to restate the second commandment to help us understand the significance of these reasons. The second commandment is, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. And we considered before what is required in the second commandment. And we were shown that we were to receive and to observe and to maintain all that God has revealed concerning his worship. And then we thought about what is forbidden in the second commandment. And we saw that we are forbidden having any images or any innovations. But we are to worship God as he has revealed to us. And that leads us up then to this question this evening. What are the reasons annexed to the second commandment? Essentially, why is this? The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, his propriety in us, and the zeal he hath to his own worship. The fact that God has revealed what he requires from us in his worship is liberating. It's tremendously liberating. I remember hearing of men who were to spend some time with the Prince of Wales. And when the arrangements were being made for the Prince of Wales to come and to be with them, they were of course uncertain about the etiquette, about the protocol, about how they should conduct themselves and what they should say. And it was a tremendous relief to them when, before having to ask these questions, it was simply explained. This is how you greet them. This is how you respond to them. This is what you're to say and this is what you're not to say. And that gave them a freedom as they encountered the Prince of Wales. You can imagine yourself if you were to meet the Queen. You'd be fearful of saying the wrong thing, of doing the wrong thing. But if you are told in advance what is expected and how to respond, then you can interact with a degree of confidence. Well, the Lord of glory has told us how we are to draw near and address him, how we are to worship him. It's revealed in this commandment. And so it is to our advantage to have this. But beyond the advantages that we gain, there are other reasons given. What are the reasons annexed to the second commandment? The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, his propriety in us, and the zeal he hath to his own worship. So first of all, there is his sovereignty. Why is it that we must worship God and as he has revealed to us? And it's because of who he is. Because he made us and because he rules over us, because he is the Lord and there is no other. We sang these words and some of these words in Psalm 95, O come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We worship because he is the Lord, and he is our God. This is who he is. Colossians chapter 1, we're reminded by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And it's this great sovereignty. There is no power, but it comes of God. And that's why we must hear him and heed him and worship him as he is revealed. We do not have the capacity to work out the worship of God. He is so other, so different, beyond us. His sovereignty, it gives then a duty and an obligation. The reality of God is not irrelevant to any person. There's many people who choose not to think about God, but the reality of God is not irrelevant to them. And if we do not worship God as he has revealed himself, we do not worship him according to his sovereignty, then we fail to realize our purpose, because that is what we're made for. God made you for his praise. And one of the reasons you experience frustration in life is when life doesn't go the way it should. Frustration is because things ought not to be like this. You want things to go well. You want things to go the right way. And this is what you were made for. To worship God. And there's an innate understanding, isn't there, that our purpose is bigger, is more than of the stuff of life. That's why people are frustrated. Because they gather stuff and they expend their energies, and yet there's a realization that somehow something is more than this. Seeking your meaning out with God is absurd. The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us. We live in a day when people resent authority and accountability. But it doesn't unpick, it doesn't undo the fact that authority and accountability stand. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. With whom we all have to do. We stand before God. We may think of ourselves as independent, but we are not. That is not an absolute independence. Rather, we depend upon him for life, for our very being. It'd be outrageous, wouldn't it, a fish to jump out of the ocean and shout, "There is no sea," as it plunges back into the sea. And yet there's even greater folly when a person draws breath by the grace of God and expends that breath to say that there is no God. The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us. We've been constituted in a way to grasp something off that. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And we have no right to withdraw. We cannot take ourselves out of that. God has given you being. And therefore, you have a responsibility to heed his sovereignty over you. But there's more. The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us. And his propriety in us. Now that's a word that is not used anymore today, his propriety. It means his property. God owns. Man has disowned God. But God has not surrendered his right. we'd already read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. All things were created by him and for him. Now there's a generic claim that God has upon all things, but he has a specific interest in man. Men and women, boys and girls, made in his image, made for his glory. He made us, he has taken us, and he has given himself to us. There's a sense in which there's a duplication, isn't there, of his rights, his sovereignty. He made us. His propriety, he has taken us. But this duplication of his rights, it strengthens his claim and it strengthens your duty. The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, his propriety in us. Think of the words of Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Friends, you are twice owned, through creation and through redemption. So it says in 1 Corinthians, you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And again in the next chapter, chapter 7, Paul again says, you are bought with a price. His propriety in us. Bought with a price, the price, the giving of the Son, the eternally begotten Son, doesn't so much to set an intrinsic value upon man as to display the vast love of God. It's not that you nor I are worth Jesus Christ, but rather his love was such, as we have it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, his propriety in us, and thirdly, and the zeal he hath to his own worship. Why must you worship God as God has revealed and as God requires? Well, because he's sovereign, because he has a claim over you, but also because of the zeal he has to his own worship. Because of the zeal God has to his own, because it matters to God. It is the desire of God. Made for his praise. That may be misrepresented. That may be misunderstood. Someone may say, is that not then self-serving, selfish, arrogant, proud, egotistical? But that's a failure to understand. What is worship? Worship is a response to the revelation of God, and worship is a revelation of God. When you worship God, you declare his greatness. You set out who he is. And that's why it cannot come from our own understanding, because God is not as we would imagine him, but rather we reflect what he reveals to us. And a wrong revelation of God is utterly deadly. It's deadly. It's deadly to self. And it's deadly to others. It's deadly for the generations to come. Worship is not a cold, indifferent, factual expression of information, but which itself would be a distortion and an obscuring of the truth, but it is an enthused expression with reverence and adoration of this living reality. And so you and I should have a zeal for his worship. And God has a zeal for his worship because it is an expression of his love that he would be revealed, that he would be known. It is your responsibility to declare God to the generations to come. And if you do not worship faithfully, you misrepresent God and you hide God from those who will hear you, those who will follow you. Would you willingly destroy your friends and your neighbours? Would you willingly destroy your children and your grandchildren and the generations that would follow them? Do you not desire to benefit them? Do you not desire to leave them a legacy? Do you not desire to help and to prosper and to bless? The Lord has a zeal for his own worship that he might be revealed by you to those around you, so that you yourself might better understand, and that those who follow would also join in his praise. You know, God's receiving worship is an act of condescension. God's demand for worship is not because there is a divine need. The Lord from all eternity was and is eternally satisfied with the mutual love and adoration of the persons of the Godhead. The zeal that God has for his worship is not meeting a need that God has, not fitting some sort of deficiency that exists. It is not self-serving, but rather it is self-revealing. God's zeal for his worship is so that the nations would see and hear and understand that he is God, so that those who doubt and stumble in their faith would with greater understanding recognize the greatness of God. That's why when you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you speak to one another and you speak to yourselves and you speak to the world around you. The zeal he hath to his own worship. Remember the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Jealous. We think instinctively that jealousy is wrong. We're told, don't be jealous. And jealousy is cruel. Friends, jealousy is not necessarily wrong. Exodus 34 and verse 14, it says, thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. What way is jealousy right? Well, a husband should be jealous for his wife's love. And if he is not jealous for his wife's love, but is indifferent, and not disturbed if she would love someone else, doesn't love her, doesn't know love, true love contains a jealousy, not a cold, cruel attitude, but a zeal to have and to give. Jealousy is an outworking of love. That's why it says, I, the Lord thine God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Those who fail to worship God faithfully and reveal God as he is are described here as hating him. Not rejoicing in who he is, but changing who he is. Making him different, presenting him in another way. Faithful worship is love and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Why does he have a zeal for his own worship? Because he wants the best for us, so that we might learn to love, and by learning to love him, might learn how to live before him. Your worship matters. We've considered already in the previous catechisms the massive consequences revealed in the legacy to subsequent generations. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and therefore he is zealous for his worship. The reasons annexed to the second commandment are God's sovereignty over us, his propriety in us, and his zeal he hath to his own worship. Therefore, friends, when you worship God, you must worship with an open Bible. Because we worship God as he is. And there is something so very powerful and precious in worship. In Psalm 22 and verse 3, the psalmist confesses, Thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Which is this, the worship of God. Is where God is to be found. It's not what you want. To find God, to be with God, to see God, to know God. Or worship. And worship well. Amen.